Hello, and welcome to SearchContentManagement.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. And today, we're going to talk about recent regulations that have passed in the European Union, known as the Right to be Forgotten. So what if you could simply get data erased from the web? The EU has made that a possibility. In May, Europe's highest court ruled that it's permissible for its citizens to request that Google remove, quote, irrelevant or outdated information from search results. This is known as the right to be forgotten. The decision has had pretty vast implications for all kinds of data housed on the web, and even corporate information that resides behind the firewall. Some are lauding the ruling as a good way to remove invalid information and clean up the web. And others are a little bit more skeptical about the regulation and fear the implications for the freedom of information, the openness of the web, and further, the onus it's going to place on many companies to maintain data accuracy or else. So with me to discuss some of these issues is Sandra Serkis, the president and founder of Allura Technologies in Bedford, Massachusetts. So welcome, Sandra.
Thank you, Lauren. It's a pleasure to be here.
So first, is the right to be forgotten consistent with prevailing law in the United States, such as the First Amendment? Or does the prospect of deleting data pose a threat to existing laws like it?
Okay, well, I should probably start out by saying I am not an attorney, so this is not a legal opinion or legal advice. But that being said, I'm certainly sort of a scholar of this area, and I can tell you that it's pretty inconsistent with the U.S. law. There's a kind of long-standing history about whether comments or information or whatever is made in a public forum. And if so, there's essentially you're kind of giving up claim on that information. So, for example, if you go on a television show and you make comments that are offensive to someone or somehow don't make you look good, you are on public record having done that. You can't just kind of go back and say, yeah, I'd like to take that off, please. It's that the U.S. law really is kind of in the other direction, saying once you put it out there, it's out there.
That brings me to my next question. What kinds of information might be considered fair game for the right to be forgotten?
So this is a tricky one because it depends on what you consider the basis of wanting to be forgotten. Irrelevant or out of date, those are kind of gray areas. If there's something, let's say I did something foolish in high school or in college and it's now 20 years later and I'm a professional, does that mean that my past is, it certainly may be obsolete, but is it irrelevant? Let's say I had a, not me, but somebody had a juvenile arrest record. Is that no longer relevant, let's say, for a hiring decision? And so there's a lot of issues that are kind of in that big question mark gray area. I know what people, I think, would like to have forgotten. It can be sort of, let's call them indiscretions, you know, bad choice, bad decision photos or, you know, kind of off-the-cuff tweets or blog posts, things that they may have made when they were younger or, you know, maybe under the influence of something that they would like to be pulled. But there's another category of stuff other than indiscretion. There's a category, let's say, of health topics, okay? Should someone have the right to request, let's say, you know, you asked a question in a forum on cancer, okay? Maybe you just had a question, maybe you've been diagnosed, maybe you know somebody, but the fact that your post lives on there, could that be removed? Or should that be removed if they ask for it? It's not really an indiscretion. It's a pretty fair question. But it does say something about the person that could be perceived negatively, just sort of by association.
So that leads naturally into my next question. You know, who should make the decision about what to remove from the internet? And what kinds of concerns does erasing data from the web raise?
And this, I think, is the hardest aspect of the whole discussion. It's very noble to say that people should have the right to remove things that are, let's call it, irrelevant or obsolete or potentially, let's just say, damaging, okay? That's a very noble endeavor. But who really gets to decide that it is, in fact, irrelevant? I mean, I suppose you could say, you know, I no longer live at that address, so that should be removed. It's irrelevant or it's obsolete, but not exactly. What if I'm going for a security clearance and they need to know the last five places that I've lived? Okay, now it is relevant. And so, you know, so the context of who's asking about something or what the purpose is kind of colors the decision about, is this in fact irrelevant and who gets to decide? This is where I see the biggest kind of breakdown in implementing this law, because who is the arbiter of, yes, that's irrelevant and therefore must be removed or is eligible to be removed? So the flip side of that, if that cannot be determined, then the kind of the only answer is it's up to the person to say, I declare this in the category of something I want to be forgotten, and because I'm asking, you need to remove it. I mean, that is the only way that I can see this practically being implemented, which, of course, then opens the floodgates to 1,012,000,000 requests from people of varying degrees of validity. Right. And so I don't know, other than, you know, hundreds and hundreds of lawsuits, how that decision is going to be made and be enforceable.
So what kinds of policies should companies consider actually integrating into their environments to ensure accurate and relevant data protection up front and to protect themselves from requests that data should be removed from the web?
You're kind of getting to this notion that I call about kind of information awareness. A lot of, you know, at this stage of the game, a lot of information storage is kind of blind. I use that term lightly, meaning that there's information out there, but mostly people don't know what it says. You know, there's 25 years of stored email and, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of documents and files out on corporate networks or in backup tapes or wherever it's all living. That is essentially kind of uninformed. And so, and the reason for that, that's not, it's not sort of negligence on anybody's part. There's a lot of reasons that contributed to that. One was the explosion in the growth of it. Another is, you know, it's one cost level to store stuff. It's quite another to sit there and step through it all on a routine basis, particularly if the processes being used were manual. You know, some compliance group's job to sit there and read every single email. You know, that's a huge and impossible undertaking. So historically, companies have been kind of operating blind a little bit and hoping that that was okay. And by and large, it was okay. Now that we are in the era of big data and there's all kinds of data mining going on at all levels, as well, and that's kind of a positive spin on information management. There's also all kinds of data breach going on all over the place. That's a negative spin on it. But because these things are routine now, most people have pretty well come to expect that it is possible to understand what data says and that it really is kind of unacceptable not to do so. So the corporations are kind of all in this boat of saying, oh my God, we have this pile of data, historical data and new stuff coming in every day that we kind of need to be aware of. We need to know what it says. And that really the only way to get through that is going to be with data analytics, data mining, you know, automated indexing types of tools that can rapidly, you know, rip through these kinds of files and say, here are the things that are potentially an issue. It's impossible to do that, you know, manually. There's just too much stuff, and it's coming too quickly. So the tools have been, you know, coming up to speed. Obviously, you know, Valora is one like it, and that's what we're seeing. There has to be a way to be able to understand and categorize this information in real time. It's the only way to keep up.
So that raises another question. Should different kinds of data be subject to different rules? That is, should enterprise data behind the firewall be subject to rules that are different from those governing publicly available data on the web?
I think that there should be different treatments for different kinds of data, and certainly U.S. law would agree with that, because there are specific designations for different kinds of data. You know, you've heard of HIPAA. You've probably heard of PII, which is, you know, private identifying information. And that those categories of information are specifically designated as more important by U.S. law. So, you know, the fact that you might have my shoe size versus you might have my home address, those are considered different types of data. They can both be disturbing, okay? Obviously, you could stalk me if you know my address, but you could also kind of, you know, flood me with spam if you knew my shoe size. So the line is getting murkier. PII or HIPAA data or, you know, or PHI, those are kind of older terms. They kind of come from a paper-oriented universe. And when we were on paper, of course, we were using forms. So it would say, you know, tax ID, colon, and you'd have to fill that in. Date of birth, and you'd fill it in. Now, because so many things are online and so much is kind of derivable from other things, you know, I can use data mining to analyze your shopping habits online, and I could probably put together a pretty good composite of you. That's not technically PII under the law, but it is pretty detailed information about you, your spending habits, your size, colors you like, et cetera, et cetera. That I think that there's going to soon be kind of a new class of data that is sort of like PII in the sense that it needs to be treated with care, even though it isn't technically identifying you per se the way your Social Security number identifies you.
Should employees have the same rights as consumers in terms of the right to be forgotten?
This is another really tricky area. My personal opinion is that they should have that kind of right. Another one in that maybe same category would be students. I know that when a student turns 18, they can request their student record, and that they can then have that be sealed. I don't know whether such an option is available to employees. I don't think so at present, but I can see how the right to be forgotten would extend into that territory. You know, I feel I was fired unjustly. I might very well request that that information be forgotten. And, you know, is that going to stand up or not? I don't know, but I can certainly see the request coming forward. Or even something in a more public venue. Let's say Google or someone shut me off for making inappropriate posts. Well, I'd like you to please forget the posts and then reinstate me. You see what I'm saying? This is a really slippery slope. Yep. And I think it is going to apply to any situation where you have that kind of imbalance between the person kind of supplying data, whether knowingly or unknowingly, and the person or the entity that is holding that data. This gets to the issue of what's going on with Facebook right now. Technically, all those Facebook users, yes, probably signed something or clicked on something along the way in order to get the Facebook account that said, you give up all right to the data that we collect on you. But I don't think your average Joe had any idea what that was going to mean down the line. And I think that, you know, if this right to be forgotten does make its way into the U.S., I think there's going to be a huge blow up. People are already angry because Facebook changed their news feed. Wait till they find out that Facebook is cataloging them on 75 different, you know, attributes for everything they've ever said and done or looked at. You know, this is just going to blow the doors open on responsible, ethical data management.
And what can companies do today to prepare for similar regulation should it come to the United States?
I think the first thing that they must do is kind of admit, you know, to themselves or to their shareholders or to the government or to their consumers that, yes, In fact, we do have a ton of data. We may not even know what it all says, but at least to sort of say, yes, it is true. We are holding this giant treasure trove of information, to sort of admit that, and not that there's any fault in doing it, but just admit that that is in fact the state of affairs. And then take the second step, the sort of ethical step, to say it is our job to determine what that data says and how we're going to use it, manage it, get rid of it, offer you a chance to you know, do it that sort of right to be forgotten style. They need to one, kind of own up, and two, take the steps to basically be able to describe the kind of data they have and are getting on a regular basis. They can describe it in the aggregate. You certainly wouldn't want to put anybody specific out there. But to be able to say, as it turns out, yes, we are collecting data on XYZ PDQ, and to be transparent about that. I think they really need to do that. There's almost no reason not to. The tools are available. The expectation is there in the marketplace. And other than it being kind of an ethical business practice kind of decision, I think there's a more kind of hit you where it hurts reason to do that, which is that consumers are not going to stand for it. The backlash against Facebook is showing us that. The backlash against Target, when they had such a massive data breach, shows that consumers, which, by the way, are the largest buying market that exists, they are not going to kind of stand for this sort of intentional ignorance anymore. And so as soon as that kind of mobilizes, whether it becomes U.S. law or not, that's going to make enough of a difference that the companies are going to want to get this under control.
So many thanks to Sandra Serkis for joining us today from Valora Technologies in Bedford, Mass. And we hope you'll join us for our Tweet Jam in early August on the right to be forgotten. And for more on information governance and good practices for data management, check out searchcontentmanagement.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz.